He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning. It is the August 3rd edition of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, there's not a lot of catalyst in the market today. Most of the big names have reported earnings so far. And the ones that are trickling in now are kind of second-tier stocks, so not a lot of catalyst right now. The market's just kind of ho-hum here so far today. Dow down 63 points right now. That puts it at 34,774, and it's pretty obvious that it continues to fight like the Dickens, that 35,000 level, and continues to bump its head up there. It'll go above 35,000 for a day or two, and then drop back down below it. So that's the struggle right now. NASDAQ down 62 right now. It's at 14,616, as it did approach 15,000 the last week and has backed off a little bit since then. S&P down 6,43.80. The small caps down 0.9%. They've been volatile lately. The Russell 2000 at 2,196. Crude oil having a real bad day. Look at that. That could be part of the problem with the market today. Crude is down $1.91, kind of a barometer of the economy lately. The crude is at $69.35 today. Gold's down $5. Silver's up 3 cents. The 10-year, now there's another big problem. Look at that drop in the yield, 1.15. That is a flight to safety. That's a narrowing of the yield curve. That's showing that there's fear of a slowing economy, at least today. And Bitcoin also getting bit on the chin here, down 1248 to 38,502. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now radio show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, and off to a very sluggish start in the market today. Not a lot of catalyst out there. We don't have any big economic reports. We don't have any real big companies reporting earnings. The Apples, the Amazons, the Teslas of the world have already reported. Those numbers are in the book. So we're kind of in between here. We will get some important earnings tomorrow and Thursday, however. So that could be some good catalyst to get the market going again here after kind of a squishy day yesterday. The Dow was down 97. The NASDAQ squeaked out eked out an 8-point gain yesterday, but kind of closed on the low of the day. Just not a lot of interest. The 10-year, surprisingly, down to 1.15 once again. What's that telling us? Well, the bond market is fearing a slowdown. We've had this kind of a sentiment go through the market here recently. We had a down 900 day on the Dow a few weeks ago, and we've had some other down days on fear that maybe the economy has peaked. Well, you know what? I've heard those fears for the last 13 years, and the economy continues to expand. The COVID thing is coming back, but it's a different variety of COVID. It's the Delta variant. And, you know, I haven't seen any businesses in our area here close down. And, in fact, they're busier than ever right now from my perspective. Bitcoin, extremely weak. I think that's a risk barometer. When Bitcoin's down, you kind of see the NASDAQ and the rest of the market down. Kind of a risk-off kind of move here. Bitcoin back to 38,000. It got under 30, got above 40. Now it's at 38. I think it's safe to say that Bitcoin is currently trading in a $30,000 to $40,000 channel. That's a pretty wide channel. That's a lot of volatility if you can put up with it. Bitcoin soft again here today. You know, yesterday was going along pretty good, and then it just kind of started to peter out, lose its strength at the end of the day. And that's trickling into today so far. We have one economic report, the June Purchasing Managers Index, the Manufacturing Index. It comes in at 63.4. That's a record high. That's good. 63.1 was the expectation. Sharper expansion in output, new orders, and employment. So that's all good. I know the labor shortage continues to be a problem. We're a regular guest at one of Charleston's restaurants, and they know us there, you know, and they see us, Mr. and Mrs. Gunderson and all this and that. They called us earlier this week and said, we're sorry to say that we're going to be closed for the next month because we can't get help. Now, this is one of Charleston's, you know, most well-known restaurants, you know, this is the high time during the tourist season here in August. A lot of people, one of the most visited cities for tourism in America. Really surprising that they can't get enough help to staff their restaurant during this, you know, high time in the economy, high time in the tourism. The airports are full again. I'll have a little report on that coming up. But, yeah, we received a call saying, we're sorry, we're going to be closed for the next month. Now, maybe they're covering for something else. I don't know. But they said it was because they can't get enough help at the restaurant. And we have heard that at a lot of other places around town. You know, the July is over, but we always look at what worked in July. A lot of times trends remain in place for quite some time. Here's the top three performing ETFs in July. And let's see how the app ranks them. The number one or the number three top performing ETF was LIT. LIT. That's the Global Lithium and Battery Technology ETF. That was number three performer. It was up 15%. Over the past month. I actually know the people that started that. I know the lady that created that index, and I get her newsletter, and she's a friend of mine. Congratulations to them on rolling out a very successful ETF. It's got $4.3 billion in it. It's an exchange-traded fund seeking performance corresponding to the sole active Global Lithium Index, the Global Lithium Index. And, of course, we know all about lithium. LIT is currently ranked. I know it's the top-ranked ETF in the Best Stocks Now app.com. It's currently ranked number 27 overall. So that's up against all the stocks, mutual funds, etc., sectors, indexes, number 27 out of 5,821. The second best performing ETF over the past month, I need to add this to my my database, and I will be doing it. I've never heard of it, but boy, I wish I would have. SOGU, S-O-G-U. You know what that ETF does? It goes short all of these SPACs that came public. Now, if you go back to late December, early January of this year, the market was roaring. It was roaring, but it was a very speculative type of roaring. That's where the loudest roars were coming from. These new SPACs and the electric vehicles and China and battery stocks and whatnot. Not now. These are all some of the worst performing sectors, the worst performing sectors. They got clobbered back in February of this year. But I remember writing in my newsletter in late December about, you know, the speculative nature that the market had taken on, and I was kind of warning. I could see it coming. I could see a big correction coming in that area of the market. The market had just gotten too speculative, and I kept calling it speculation. I wasn't the only one. I didn't coin the term. But speculation was what I saw. All those SPACs going public were really, really low quality. And I didn't know, but somebody came along with an idea. Maybe they listened to my show to create an ETF that shorts the SPACs. And the symbol is SOGU. And I will be adding that ETF to my database. It continues to hit new highs as the SPACs continue to hit new lows. I think there's a lot of SPACs out there that are really poor quality. And last but not least, the number one performing ETF, and I've got to add this one to my database too, was the Rare Earth Strategic Metals. Rare Earth. REMX was up 28% over the last month. Well, okay, that's looking in the rearview mirror. We got to find the best ones now. And that's what this show is all about. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of Best Stocks Now show. Well, look at that. The market just went green on us. The Dow now up 8 as it chases 35,000 again, 34,843. The NASDAQ, on the other hand, still down about 50 points. So far this morning, flight delays grow as air travel hits pandemic high. How about you? Have you traveled? Have you been to the airports here recently? Air travel continues to return with a vengeance as many look to take a long overdue summer vacation or see family for the first time in more than a year. Another high mark was set on Sunday despite a renewed threat from rising coronavirus cases numbers fueled by the Delta variant. Well, it seems like they're more worried about booking tickets on Delta than the Delta variant. More than 2.2 million people went through airport checkpoints nationwide, according to the Transportation Security Administration, otherwise known as our friends at the TSA, notching the highest number since February 28th, 2020. Okay, that was right before everything went kaput, February 28th, 2020. That was also just a few weeks before the market bottomed in March of 2020. I was reading that one of the problems, the U.S. has reached a 70% vaccination rate, but I was reading that around the world it hasn't been as robust as getting people vaccinated, and that's allowed a lot of these variants to arise, like the Delta variant. So I guess one of the problems is getting the rest of the world in line to get vaccinated. That's hurting us over here. Now, there have not been any travel restrictions placed on people coming from other countries that I know of. And, have you been on a plane lately that hasn't been full? It seems like every time I get on a plane, every time. Well, this is a full flight today, there's not going to be any room for, storage up in the bins. You might want to check in your luggage and, you're going to just have to fight for the seats. We sold more than we have. It's just really crowded. And the airports are crowded. We're kind of back to normal. Now, having said that, are the airlines a good investment right now? I don't see it. I really rely on my rankings a lot in my BestStocksNowApp.com. And I look at several airline stocks every day, American, Delta, et cetera, as proxies for the rest of the sector. I think the market saw what's happening now at the airports a year ago, maybe even a year and a half ago, and started buying those stocks. The market is forward-looking. American Airlines, AAL, got as low. Let's see, how low did it go? Really low. It got down to $5 or $6. $8 per share. At the bottom of COVID, And today it's back to 19. It's been as high as 26, okay? And now it's in a downtrend, horrible downtrend. It's ranked, American Airlines is ranked number 4,567. I can't tell you how helpful that is for me to look at a stock from an important sector or to look at a stock that, you know, is getting a lot of publicity or whatever and just look at that rank, that overall rank, 4,567, and say, you know what, I don't need to waste any time looking at the airline stocks or anything really having to do with aerospace. Tencent tumbles as China state media dubs online gaming as spiritual opium. I thought religion was the opium for the masses. Now they're saying online gaming. Well, those are at opposite ends of the spectrum, but the bottom line is that China continues to attack their big blue chip companies that at one time were blue chip companies. Alibaba, Tencent Holdings, JD.com. These stocks continue to get pummeled, and apparently China, who reached out to international bankers here recently saying, well, that we're going to go easy on these companies. You know, they called Goldman Sachs and had a conference with them and other big bankers, you don't need to worry. And now you've got the U.S. placing restrictions on Chinese IPOs, and you've got the China continuing to go after their own companies. In fact, you know, what was the sector they went after recently was the education sector, online education sector. Now the online gaming sector might be the next target in Beijing's crosshairs, after a strongly worded article from an affiliate of the state-backed Xinhua newspaper took aim at the industry. Phrases like spiritual opium and electronic drugs were referenced in the since-deleted post by Economic Information Daily. The story remains available in the print version. The article also flagged widespread gaming addiction among children, which could negatively impact their health. Well, you know what? I don't think being addicted to video games, I've never hardly even played one. I wouldn't even know where to begin with a lot of these Warcrafts and what else. I think it's a waste of good time myself. But the bottom line is Tencent Holdings was once a great stock. It was a big holding over at Cathie Wood's ARK Funds. And now the stock is getting pummeled. It's gone from $100 per share. Okay, that was just earlier this year in February. That's when the bashing of the high PE stocks began. Now the stock is $57 per share. Okay, so it's down 43% during that period of time. And this was closing in on $1 trillion in market cap, and now it's $544 trillion. It's a stock that I used to own, TCEHY, and now it just continues to get trashed, absolutely trashed, by the Chinese government. I don't know what they're doing over there, but it hasn't been good to their stock market. Now, I've also said, I was talking about the short ETF on the SPACs. FXP is the ProShares Ultra Short China 50 Index, FXP. Okay, let's just take a look at its ranking in the Best Stocks Now app.com. This is probably the only inverse other than the SPACs ETF that's doing well. Well, it was ranked number 758 yesterday. It's volatile, though. It is extremely volatile because it's two times short the China 50. Well, General Electric's back up above $100 per share. Can you believe that? Well, they did a 1-for-10 stock split. 1-for-10. And if you owned 100 shares of GE yesterday, today you own 10 shares of GE. Reverse splits are not a good indication of how a company is going. You know, GE is almost a microcap. No, 867. No, they haven't figured this out. They have not changed it yet. But it's lost a lot of market cap. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. The NASDAQ has gotten a little worse. It's down 69. Dow is up positive right now. It's up 13 points. Let's take a look at the EV sector. One of last year's big, big winners was the EV sector, batteries, electric cars, etc. And this year, it's been a lot cooler. You know, at the end of the day, they're still auto manufacturers, okay? And if you look at Ford and GM over the years and other auto manufacturers, it's a pretty slim margin business. Now, Tesla comes along and obviously changes the game, and they have been pretty profitable. They're trying to go to a subscription model. But there's only a few EV car makers that are doing really well. I've been looking at some of the other EV car makers, and their charts are just horrible, absolutely horrible. I mean, other than the Chinese Li, L-I, and NIO, and Boyd, B-Y-D-D-F, and Tesla, it's a pretty tough sector to invest in right now. Now, so let's begin with the electric vehicle ETF, DRIV, D-I-R-V. It's currently ranked at number 1,108, which, and it's dominated by Tesla. Okay, Tesla is a strong hold, or the ETF is a strong hold. Now, Tesla has been rallying recently. It's had three or four good days in a row, but it's been really volatile. They've seen some good reads from the Chinese automakers, NIO, XPeng, and Li. Demand for electric vehicles growing in China. The round of reports on deliveries for July by Tesla is more than offsetting concerns over the Beijing regulation moves. Well, you know, you got to worry about that. Tesla is selling a lot of cars in China, so is GM, so is Ford. And this regulation moves by China really shaking up the Chinese stocks and the companies that do business in China. But let's take a look. Tesla raised prices last week. Let's just check in on Tesla stock right now. It is ranked number 629 right now overall. 629. It's just out there on the periphery, okay? The chart is has improved here recently. The 50-day is below the 200-day right now. The relative strength on a scale of 1 to 99 is 88 right now. And Tesla just had a huge quarter. Their sales were up 98% and their earnings were up 230%. But I think what holds it down is its valuation, a PE ratio of 180 right now. And what's the forward PE ratio and the PEG ratio on Tesla? Tesla's forward PE ratio is 115. Ouch. And the 5-year growth rate's 35%. Which gives it a PEG ratio of 3.29. So you know what? I am so tempted to own that stock. I've owned it off and on over the years. It's been one of the best performing stocks over the last 10 years. But buying it right here, right now, if I owned it, I certainly wouldn't sell it. I like the subscription model that they're moving towards with the autonomous driving. But, you know, the bottom line is it's ranked at number 629 right now overall. It does enter into that top 300 off and on, but the stock remains very, very volatile. But it has had several good days in a row. Now, I'm starting to think more and more that this whole inflation story is transitory. I read a good argument for the transitory by somebody I really respect, one of the few newsletters that I subscribe to, and he was saying that, you know, a lot of the things that have created this inflation, it's been short-term stuff, and used car prices, believe it or not, was one of the big factors Because of the part shortage for new cars, that's pushed up the used car prices. But we're also hearing now that the chip shortage is starting to smooth out, and you've got one of the big publicly traded used car sellers, Sonic Automotive, saying that new car inventories are going to get better progressively over the next few months as we get to the end of the year. That's Sonic Automotive, and that's driving used car costs down. They were up 21% year over year. The average used car cost in Q2 2021 was $25,410. I remember when you could buy one of the best new cars for that. Now that's the average used car cost, $25,410, up 10.5% and 21% year over year. But now used car prices starting to fall. And I think that, lends a little credence to the transitory inflation issue that we have in the U.S. More on electric vehicles. Ferrari is very positive on electric vehicle prospects despite their earnings miss. Ferrari reported earnings today. How's your Ferrari doing? It's ranked number 548 overall, which isn't bad. But it's out there on the outer ring of the top best stocks now. It's also a very volatile stock. But they will have an electric Ferrari, coming to a showroom near you soon. I'll tell you, one of the hottest stocks in the entire market has been AMD. And I got to tell you, our article on AMD certainly was timely. We wrote that two or three weeks ago. Let's just check in on how AMD has done since our article came out. Now, I'm the guy who picks the article to write about every week, and then Barry and I collaborate on these articles from time to time. Right now, let's see, AMD, there it is. We wrote it on July the 12th, 3 weeks ago. And since we wrote the article, the stock is up 21%. The S&P is flat. How did we do, huh? The title of the article, AMD, Executing a Winning Plan for Growth. And AMD has been one of our top-ranked stocks for a long time. It's a big holding here. It's currently ranked at number 32 out of 5,821. That is in the upper echelons of the upper tiers. And look at that chart. I mean, since their earnings report 5 days ago, the stock has been straight up. And it's up again today. Despite the NASDAQ being down 65 points or whatever, AMD is up once again. And it has been just sizzling as the rally continues since their earnings report. And we nailed it with this article just 3 weeks ago. You better follow us on Seeking Alpha. When a new article comes out, you'll be emailed about the article. You'll be notified about it. We continue to be ranked in the top 4%. Hey, I look at that as a line of 100 people. There's 96 people, behind us in the line waiting to get their chili burger at Tommy's, and there's only 4 people in front of us, okay? So we're totally at the head of the line there at Seeking Alpha, and we're very proud of that ranking. And when it relates to all the different analysts out there, 15,000 that tip ranks tracks, we're in the top 7 or 8% of all of those folks, too. So there must be something, too. The Best Stocks Now methodology. Okay, I featured Square yesterday, SQ. Square is having another good day. That thing bolted higher yesterday. It is pulling back a little today. But there's talk about this acquisition they made called Afterpay, which was an Australian company. It's going to be very accretive, which means it's going to add to, not take away, growth and earnings. And it's a buy now, pay later part that Square will now have in their arsenal against PayPal. And that stock continues to be a highly ranked stock, Square. Let's check in, okay? You know, I got to tell you one thing. In the mornings, I spend several hours going through all the news of all the stocks that are in the news. 95% of them are just mediocre stocks. There's a lot of mediocrity in the market. A lot. You got to wade through. Not Square. Square is currently ranked number 76 out of 5,821. Well, I better come up with a stock to feature here in the final segment of the show. This is Bill Gunderson's The Best Stocks Now Show.
You got to go where you want to go. Do what you want to do.
Back here to the final segment. Boy, the market's really perking up here. The Dow's now up 85. NASDAQ's only down 43, moving towards the flat line at least, and the S&P starting to surge up 5 points. I can't wait to dig into these charts here today. I got a lot of them to look at, and if I see any that stand out, I'll be on stock twits all day. I'll be on Twitter all day. I'm at Bill Gunderson. And I'll also be sending out live trades to my my subscribers of anything I buy or sell. And, of course, my clients that I manage money for, we're looking at a few new purchases. I made two new buys yesterday, one in the ultra growth and one in the emerging growth portfolio. Yeah, and I'm looking at a few more today as I have just a little bit more cash on the sidelines. Now, I was also looking, I was crowing about AMD right before we went to break and how it's done since we wrote our article. Of course, we made 500% in AMD the first time around, and we're doing okay with it again. You know, the article we wrote the week before AMD was Cleveland Cliffs, a totally different industry, okay, totally different genre, if you will. Cleveland Cliffs is up 15.3% since we wrote the article, and the S&P during that time is up 2.3%. So there's some alpha there coming from an iron ore stock, and we still like Cleveland Cliffs a lot. We own that. It's a smaller company than AMD, obviously, CLF. Now, for the featured stock of the day, I think it's going to surprise you a little bit. This stock is ranked number 13 overall out of 5,821. You know what I say to myself all the time? Trust the ranking. Trust the ranking, Bill. Well, I still do my homework and look at the charts and the fundamentals and everything else, but the ranking is what draws my attention to a stock to begin with, okay? And, you know, this one's been ranked. 6 months ago, it was ranked number 75. A month ago, it was number 14. A week ago, it was number 11. Today, it's number 13. And did they produce a blowout earnings report today? It's a little-known stock by the name of Eli Lilly. Can you believe that? L-L-Y. Eli Lilly, a $246 billion company, breaking out with a vengeance once again today. It's definitely the best of class as it relates to Big Pharma. You know, other than Moderna and the one that makes the BioNTech that makes the vaccine, Lilly is just cooking right now, man. They are doing really well. The pride of Indianapolis, okay? No, it's not the Colts. It's the Eli Lilly and Company, headquartered in Indianapolis. It's a dividend-paying stock, 1.3%. Give me that all day. A smaller dividend yield than an Altria or a BP or an AT&T, but over the past 5 years, it's been growing by 19% per year, their earnings. And over the next 5 years, it's expected to continue to grow by 16% per year. I have the valuation, $462 per share, 5 years down the road. I do 5-year valuations. That helps keep my hand a little steadier and not flinch and, you know, crack at every single quarterly miss along the road. Lily ranked number 13. Now, from a performance standpoint, believe it or not, it has a momentum grade of A. This is a big, large-cap, big pharma. Normally a pretty boring sector. Pfizer's actually done pretty well, too. It's probably second best of class right now amongst the big pharmas. The others are really, really boring. The Glaxos of the world and the Bristol-Myers and some of the others. But Lilly is just cooking right now. Relative strength, 89. On a scale of 99, over the last 12 months, the stock is up 52%. While the market is up 32%, it's delivered some big alpha. Over the last 3 years, Lilly's put in 51.8% per year return, while the market's 15. The 5 years been 31.8 average per year. The market's been 15.2. And over the last 10 years, Lilly's delivered to investors 22.3%. Well, the market's delivered 13.8. You know what? You have to credit management, okay? And obviously the scientists that work there and the people that work in the labs and develop the products and make the current products, etc. But you got to say it's a well-managed company. You know, it's a tough field. It's a tough industry. There's a lot of companies that haven't come up with anything new or vibrant in a long, long time. And Lilly, look at this quarter they just produced. Their earnings were up 29%. Their sales were up 23%. So we'll make LLY Lilly our featured stock of the day, ranked number 13 overall out of 5,821, and it gets an A-plus stock rate. This was yesterday, okay? This was where it closed yesterday, and today it's up 4%, and it's breaking out to a new all-time high. Now, that's my kind of stock, okay, Lilly. And we own many like Lilly. We are out there. I'm the general manager of the five portfolios that I manage, and I am on the hunt continually looking to put the best roster on the field that I possibly can for those people that are invested in our portfolios. And I also have an eye on, you know, the rearview mirror, too, protecting that downside. Now, in every portfolio, I have one version of it that's more of a buy and hold long-term type of a strategy. Now, I'll see another one that's much more, a shorter leash, more downside protection where we're trying to capture, you know, as much of the upside as we can and then really protect that downside when trouble comes along. So that's what we have to offer here in the way of fee-based money management. We charge a fair fee to manage your portfolios for you. If you are interested in putting together a mix of our various portfolios, including the bond portfolio, which takes care of your asset allocation, we can take care of your entire asset allocation with the portfolios that I manage here at Southport Capital, for Southport Capital. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST. And if you want to see what's in those portfolios and how they're doing this year and over the last several years, you can go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, and check out the app at BestStocksNowApp.com. Look up the rankings of your stocks. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.